tell you how I met Bill Vaughn.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Of course, my family was in the whiskey business.
Uh-huh.
I was brought up in the whiskey business. We owned a distillery in Virginia, Belmead, and during the war, I went into the service. You understand? I'm a World War II veteran, combat veteran.
You were knighted as well, I understand.
What?
You were knighted as well, I understand.
Negative?
Knighted.
What's that?
Interesting.
Given the title of sir by the Swedish or the Finnish government?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know about that?
Yeah.
We're your biggest fans, Monroe.
You know, I was... You want to hear the greatest thing? I was trying to get my medal. I got the date. I got all the papers on it. I even spoke to the... I wrote to people and everything, the embassy, everything, to get my Order of Vasa. That's the medal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you how I got into that. I always wanted to fly. I was going to military school. Did you have where I went to Riverside?
No.
Okay, I went to Riverside Military Academy, which was in Gainesville, Georgia, in Hollywood, Florida. See, in New York, the poor bad boys go to reform school, and the money bad boys go to military school. So I ended up in military school.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to get into the service. I didn't have to go into the service, you understand, because a distillery, which I can operate, is a key product for the government, because synthetic rubber and smokeless gunpowder starts off with alcohol. Are you aware of that?
No.
What's that? Yeah.
No.
But alcohol is one of those commodities that you can't store a year's supply because you need so much of it.
Yeah.
So, you see, so we were selling our alcohol to the government. We weren't making whiskey in Virginia. And so I could have stayed out of the service, but I had a big argument with my father. I insisted on going in, and I wanted to fly, and I was in cadets, and I was going to college in Hays, Kansas, Fort Hays State Teachers College, to start my cadet training. And that's when they started using the B-17s for bombing in Germany, and they were losing so many of them that they needed crews. So what they did, the week I was supposed to go to primary training, they canceled they cut my training out, and they sent me to aerial gunnery school.
Mm.
And I was, on my military record, it says eliminated at the convenience of the government without prejudice. And I had the option that at any time after the war to go back into pilot training. I got a license to fly after that anyway. And so I was on a crew. A very, very unusual thing about that, and there was something I don't understand. We had three Jewish boys on the crew. I happen to be Jewish. I don't know if you knew that or not. And our radio operator, he ended up as the radio operator in Japan on what's his name's plane, general, the general's radio operator.
Oh yeah.
And what they had, they were flying. I got all this information. I got letters from more people on trying to get that fucking medal of Vasa. You understand that I got? Because what I liked about it was it's one of those things you wore it around the neck, and I thought it would look good in my tuxedo. That's the truth.
What medal do you call it? What's the name?
It's Order of Vasa. Vasa, V-A-S-A, is the royal family name like Windsor is in England.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You see what I mean? When we see each other, I'll dig up a lot of this stuff for you. The letters I wrote to everybody. I wrote to the embassy. I wrote to the king. I mean, I'm not proud. I wrote trying to get my fucking medal. And I have the date that I was ordered, that I was given it, you understand?
Fantastic.
Then this is interesting. About 3 years ago, I get a call here, and a guy says, gives me his name, Eli Burke. He says, remember me? I said, no. He says, I was your radio operator during World War II. And what he had some kind of sickness or something, and he had to try to get proof that he was in combat, you know what I mean?
He's still living.
In fact, there is a guy that you probably find worthwhile to speak to. He'll give you a little background of me on the crew, you know, too.
Excellent.
He's still alive. We still speak to each other occasionally. He's about 3 years older than me.
Oh, yeah.
See, I lied about my age when I went into service, among other things.
How did you meet Bill Vaughn?
Let me tell you how I met Bill Vaughn. So my father, unfortunately, now I don't expect you to write this. This is off the record, you understand?
Understand.
Okay.
My father was one of the con men and promoters, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And he left, and I got very mad at my father. I never mind that he was in the rackets. I mean, he was one of the investors in the Flamingo when they built it.
Oh, yeah.
He was a top potato. I mean, he was no slouch. He was in bootleg, you know, and all that. And so now he is going away. He realizes that the government is about ready to to try him and put him in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So he decides to leave the country. Now, I don't know if you know any of you lawyers.
No.
I don't know if you know it or not, but when you're a naturalized citizen, and he was born in Russia, you understand, came over as a baby, you have to set foot in continental United States one out of so many years, otherwise you lose your citizenship.
Right.
Are you aware of that?
I'm from Canada, and it's once every 6 months for Canada.
In Canada?
Yeah.
Oh, where are you from in Canada?
The capital city, Ottawa.
Oh. So now my father is and after World War II, when my father was trying to pay people off to keep me out of the service, you understand?
No.
And I was getting pissed off.
And you wanted to go?
What?
And you wanted to go?
Well, I mean, he's trying to keep me out of combat. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So now, the funniest thing is, I got a pretty high IQ, 135 or something like that. So when they tested me, they right away put me into pilot training, and they sent me to college in Fort Hays State Teachers College in Hays, Kansas. And I'm going there, and when you went into cadets during the war, it was just the opposite as it is now. Now, if you get into flying, you first get your commission, and then you transfer into the Air Force.
Oh, yeah.
During World War II, it was just the opposite. Regardless what rank you had, whether you were a master sergeant or a lieutenant or anything, you had to resign everything and get the title of cadet.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
No.
No, it was just the opposite. So now I'm in a cadet program, and I'm going to college in Hays, Kansas, and they kicked all of us out of the program for pilots, and so they had no people to man the planes. You know, I tried to figure out why, but you know, the losses were huge, you know. See, I don't know if you realize or not, but the Air Force was the most important branch of the service.
Yeah.
See, Germany couldn't, I don't know how much you know about World War II, but Germany could not invade England because they didn't control the air.
Mm-hmm.
And we would not have had D-Day if we didn't control the air.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You see, people don't know that. So now I'm they put me on a crew, and so now and I got a radio operator who's Jewish, and I got a tail gun. You know, the odds are the three Jewish guys to get on a plane by chance.
Sounds like the start of a joke.
And then the pilot was from the fucking part of Long Island where all the anti-Semites lived, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, but he was a good pilot. So now they are not, I got now I'll bring you up to date. Now, so now they put me on a plane. They're selling planes. They're transferring planes to Sweden. See, I don't know if you know it or not, but Sweden was armed by the United States when they were neutral. Did you know that?
No, I can't say that I did.
No, and I've been trying to get somebody to write the history of Sweden in World War II. You understand? Because I'm one of the last guys that can tell some of the stories.
Right.
So now we are transferring P-51 fighters to Sweden, and they need a plane. And the B-17 is escorting the planes up there. So now I'm sitting up in the front of the plane, you know, B-17, and I look down and I see three trails of water in the ocean. Now, you know, you were you in the service at all?
No.
Okay, but you know, the one thing you know is you see a lot of idiotic films and you say, when the fuck am I ever going to need that? You know what I mean? And one of the things I saw was you can always tell a minesweeper from a regular plane because there are three contrails, the okay. one for the boat and the other two for the sweepers.
Yeah.
So I'm looking down out of the plane. I see we're flying in the Skagerrak in Sweden, and I see three contrails. And I said, I'll be a son of a bitch, there's a minesweeper down there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I told the pilot, I had a camera gun. I said, I want to take pictures of that. Let's get down there. And I took pictures of this. Mm-hmm. And they told us also that whatever we do, we weren't to get fancy when we got to Sweden. And have you ever been to Sweden?
No.
Okay, the Bromfield, because they just want us to be very conservative in landing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we land in Brom, and this is the first trip up. And when we land, we're greeted by the Swedish, and the guy says, you know, I'm real disappointed. He said, what's the matter? He said, you didn't put us a show up. We expected you were going to be fancy. And the guys flying the P-51s were recruited to bring those, were the top aces in America.
Oh, yeah.
And so the first trip up was okay. So then we went back. We went back for another trip up, you understand? And of course, I was looking, I needed to make some, I always like to make some money, and I was thinking, what could I buy small that I could make money on, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I figured cigarette lighters. So I bought a whole bunch of cigarette lighters up there, a couple of dozen, and I was selling them, you know, in England.
Mm-hmm.
The Thor, I can even remember. See, now I remember these things. Did you ever see a Thorin cigarette lighter that you type? You had a little screw on it, and you tightened it, and then that locked it. Another way, you open it up. No. So I was selling those things, and we were told that us this was top secret, us being up there. You understand? So we get back, and I go back, and we make the second trip up, and when we come back, a colonel comes out to our plane. You understand? And he says to us, I guess you don't know it, but the president died today.
Mm.
That was the day that Roosevelt died.
Oh, yeah.
And no, that was before this. Then we made another trip up to Sweden. Now, one of the things was that that number one, we could not go to any public functions for 30 days. Mm-hmm. You understand? That's why I never got the medal in Sweden.
Okay.
And also, you cannot accept a medal from a neutral country in time of war. That's logical, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is, yeah.
Well, so now, let me see, where did I go? Where did I say? Oh, yes. So now, I'm issued a black armband to wear when I'm up there. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
For the president, and I saved it. And when Kennedy died, the president who was shot, I sent my black armband to his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a letter back from them. You know, I told them that I was issued this when another president died, and I thought he might like to wear this in honor of his brother. Mm-hmm. I sent it to Robert Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how I got involved in Sweden.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
What? Oh, that's
fascinating.
What?
Fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Monroe,
well,
I don't know, Peter.
When you looked at my service record, first of all, I was recommended. I wanted to get into intelligence first, and my recommendations were by Gene Tunney, you know, the fighter.
Uh-huh.
Gene Tunney was the chairman. Was the chairman of the board of the company that my father was national sales manager of, mm-hmm. American Distilling Company.
Oh, yeah.
So I used to see Gene Tunney. In fact, Gene Tunney took me away for a weekend when he had to speak to young men, you know. And you know, the funny thing is, Gene Tunney was an anti-Semite.
Oh, yeah.
But my father was the sales manager of the only non-Jewish liquor company. I mean, it wasn't Schenley, it wasn't Nashville. These are all, you know, all the liquor companies, Carioca Rum,
yeah.
Stuff like that. They were all Jews.
Yeah, that's true.
Monroe, Peter may have to get back because he was doing a conference call when
I
tried to reach him.
No, I'm good.
I'm filling you in with pieces. You understand?
I have a question. Is Bill Vaughn part of your war experience?
Bill Vaughn? No. Oh, now I got to tell you that. How did I meet Bill Vaughn? So when my father left the country with a satchel full of cash after World War II, he gave me, he told me that he was talking to a guy about a liquor deal. I should see him. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but you can very easily open a liquor bottle and take the whiskey out of it because, you know, they have the seal on the top, you know, the celluloid seal.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is wet that thing and you can slide it right off. That's the way it's put on.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was Bill Vaughn, and Bill Vaughn... And he gave me a copy, and he said, "This is the whiskey deal." And I got so many cases of this, and I took a taste of this stuff, and the whiskey was better than the price. Now I don't mind paying, so you know I don't mind. It was so I realized it had been relabeled.
Oh yeah.
And Bill Vaughn was the guy that was involved in it. And I said, and, you know, first of all, I wasn't going to tell him everything I knew because, you know, when you tell a person everything you know, then he's smarter than you because he knows what he knows, but what you know. So
Bill was in the liquor business, or I'm not quite following you. Bill was in the liquor business, or
no, Vaughn was in the automobile business. He had Vaughn Motors.
Yeah.
You understand? And some way or other, he got this deal, and. So now, let me see, I got to get this. So now Bill telling me about the deal and how many cases he got, and I didn't tell him the whiskey had been changed or anything, but one of the governors, some big shot, had control of this. And I told Bill, I said, I don't want nothing to do with this deal. I didn't tell him why, you understand? Mm-hmm. And one thing led to another, and finally it found out that I kept him from getting into a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I could have asked him for a fee. I could have asked him for a car, but I didn't do that. I just forgot about him. And a year later, my brother-in-law was in Cleveland at that time, the head of the Cleveland television station. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Cleveland?
Oh, yeah.
WEWS, you know, I think it was, which is the first TV station. And he was doing a kids show. And the kids show in New York, all over the United States, was the top show except in Cleveland. And he was doing a show up there, and he gets hired to go to New York. And he says, you know, I got to get your sister a car. I said, shit. I said, I got a guy that owes me a favor. You know what I mean? Let me get him to pay me off that favor, and I'll get you a car, you know, a Hillman Minx, cheap. Mm-hmm. So I go back to see Bill Vaughan. Oh, Monroe does that and the other. He says, what are you doing now? I said, I'm not doing anything now. He says, I got this new line of automobiles, Singers, and I'm looking for dealerships. He says, how would you like to come to work for me? This is how I met Bill Vaughan.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to my sister. He says, go ahead and do it. You're not doing nothing. So I started. I went to work for Bill, and he's very negligent. And then that correspondence with England, where they said, how about California, came up.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? So I said, Bill, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, you give me 50% of the 11 Western states, and I'll get it financed.
Okay.
That was his deal. I mean, I had no money. I was gonna finance. So I made the deal with Bill, and I drew up the corporate papers in New York for California. And I got $100,000, and I borrowed $100,000 from a guy who was retiring, because you know money doesn't mean anything. It's only the only thing that money is good for is what you can make with it.
That's right.
I mean, if you, I don't know how well you are or what you are, but if you've got $50,000 in the bank, you can't spend that. All that is what it's worth.
Yeah.
You know, what interest you're getting.
Yeah.
So I got this guy, and I made a deal, and I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, you loan me the $100,000 to the corporation, and you will get 25% of a Class A stock for that money, and I'll keep the voting stock now.
Mm-hmm.
I said you will be paid off at so much per car, and when your $100,000 is paid back, you then I think it was $50 an imported car. See. And I always figured out interesting deals. And I said, when you get all your money back, I said, you'll be a preferred creditor. And when you get all your, what business were you in?
I was in the software business, and I'm now a general contractor, and I build houses.
You build houses, eh?
Yeah.
In fact, one of the things we were cutting lumber. Do you ever hear ever hear of field warehousing?
No.
Well, if you got a chance to buy lumber, you know what I mean, for building.
Yeah.
You can have it enclosed, and you can. This is banks don't do it out here, but they did it then. And what it was, one person, it's like warehouse receipts. It's all locked, and one guy is bonded to take care of the lumber, you know, that you need for building. And when you want lumber, you take it out of the locked place, and you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's called field warehousing.
Okay.
That's something that you might be handy for you people. I don't think the bankers even know about it out here.
I've never heard of it.
What?
Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
But you understand what I'm saying, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so what kind of a guy was Bill Vaughn?
Bill Vaughn was in a million things, was very disorganized.
Oh, yeah.
He had been in the imported, he had an imported car agency. He'd been in the imported car agency for many years.
Mm-hmm.
But you walked into his office, he reminded me of my father. He was up to his ass in paperwork.
Oh, yeah.
And disorganized. So when I drew the corporation up, I went out to California. And that's how I, and I went out with $100,000. But that ain't enough to go in the imported car business when you got to pay for every car in advance.
How many times did you see Bill Vaughn in New York before you went out to California?
I worked for him.
No. How many times did you see him?
I worked for him about 30, 60 days.
Okay.
I was only a very short time. I was opening up dealerships for him.
Yeah, yeah. He strikes me as a very disorganized kind of a guy, but a bit of a an entrepreneur, I guess, in that he's always
willing. No. He had an imported car agency in 39 in New York. I never met after I went to California. He never came to California to see his investment, and I never got back to New York.
Really?
Believe that. So when I came out to California, I never saw Bill Vaughn. Bill Vaughn will be up there in years now because he was older than me.
How many years did your Vaughn Singer Motors in California stay open?
I stayed in business about 5 years, I think, 6 years. But I was under finance. I made one mistake. If I would have gone into the Singers instead of trying to get dealerships, kept the franchises to myself and brought people to L.A. to my place, I would have done quite well. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't get enough cars.
Do you remember someone named Dick Van Lannen?
Sure, he worked for me. He drove us in Van Lannen, he was sure.
He's helping us with our research, Monroe. He's 82 or 83. He still works in his State Farm insurance agency out in...
Let me tell you how I met him.
Mm-hmm.
He drove in my agency in a Singer. He owned one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Did he tell you that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know he owned one. He was racing one in 51.
I was the guy that was supporting him. He was my salesman, retail sales manager.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had a Singer. Sure, tell him you spoke to me. Do you speak to him at all?
Oh, yeah, we both have. Actually, I don't know if you have, Peter. I just found him about 2 weeks ago, and Peter's about to start doing interviews with him, too.
So don't tell him you've been talking to me. Mm-hmm. See, when I opened up Vaughn Singer Motors, it's a funny thing. In drives this guy on a Singer, you understand?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tells him what a great car it is, how wonderful, how glad he is to see back. I said, shit. I said, you want to go to work for me? So he says, yes. So I put him to work. and I made him sales manager.
How long was he working for you, do you think?
He worked for me till I quit, till I closed my business.
Did you sponsor his races, his race car at all?
Yeah, sure. Sure, I sponsored his races. Well, I think he drove once or twice, but after that, he was driving my... Bill Carrigan was driving one of my cars, and he was driving one of my cars.
Yeah.
And who do you think...
You said Bill Carrigan to Bridgehampton.
Yes, to Bridgehampton, sure, we won. We used to win all the time. In fact, one of my ads, one of my full-page ads that I had, has us showing as a winner. We used to beat the MGs.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
We were a better engine than they were.
There was a race at Bridgehampton in 1953, and Bill Carrigan and Lammy Lamoureux were both in it.
Lammy Lamoureux, yeah.
Yeah. And the car that Carrigan was racing was one of yours. You
sure. Let me tell you, I had a different idea about sports cars racing. I decided I was trying to keep it amateur. And I agreed to help to run a pit at every race.
Oh, yeah.
And I would see that the driver's cars, and the only thing I would do for them, I would give them tires, because I could recap them, you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
and the singer guys ran, and the singers used to run first and third. You saw that.
Mm-hmm.
If you had the results, to see the results.
No, they did. They did well.
Oh, sure, we did well. I was running those all my cars. I felt that would promote the cars. The only thing that kept me from selling singers was getting singers.
No, I want to go get a singer. What kind of singer?
You want to know what the factory was like? After I won my first race, I sent a telegram to Singer in England. I had never met the Singer people. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is to advise you on November so-and-so. One stock singer was running against 10 stock MGs.
And I've seen a copy of that letter.
What?
I've seen a copy of that letter.
You do? Well, you got stuff I don't have. Where the fuck did you get all that stuff?
We're your biggest fans.
And you know what? And you know what the factory tow sent back to me?
No.
Who authorized you to race singers?
Is that right? Amazing.
And I was paying back. That's. Well, you know, the same thing. I didn't want black automobiles. I had a hell of a job getting the color cars that I wanted.
Really?
Oh, the singer was very uncooperative. Yeah.
Huh.
So you got that letter?
I have a copy of the letter, yeah.
Yeah, but I sent a telegram first.
Well, I have a copy of the telegram.
Oh, you got a copy of the telegram?
Yeah.
It's funny how I bring these things up.
I've got a copy of a lot of stuff. I've been collecting stuff for a long time.
You know I'm for real.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt in my mind.
Do you have a copy of the magazines? I got some covers that show the singer. You got the Donald O'Connor picture?
Yeah, I got that. I got Marilyn. I've got Sammy Davis.
Well, you know, you realize that girl in the Donald O'Connor cover picture is Debbie Reynolds.
Absolutely.
But she was a kid. Yeah. Well, see, that's because I had good connections with the. Do you have the magazine, or do you have? Because the inside cover on those magazines was a full singer ad.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I don't have the magazines. I just have copies of the pictures.
Yeah, I have the magazines. I'm the magazine collector, and Peter's the singer historian.
You've got a copy of the ads then, don't you?
Oh yeah, I can scan them for Peter and send them up. I still think, Monroe, it would be good for us to put together copies of everything so that it could help kind of some of your memories. It would help Peter.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I still think Peter might want to do that.
Let me ask you something. When are we going to get together?
Well, we just found you today. So.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So I'm going to let Peter do the interviews with you over the next however time frame you work. I had two other quick questions for you, Monroe.
Sure.
Is it okay to ask you, did you ever import any chassis only to California?
I did some. But Cavalli, again, with his money and my no money, he cut me out of the business. You know what I mean?
No. Tell me about the Cavalli again. What happened?
Cavalli was a real bastard.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I gave singers who I was the 11 Western states.
Right.
So I sold singers to Cavalli.
Okay, so how did he cut you out of him then?
Well, listen, don't quote me on anything.
No, don't worry. We want to document things in a positive way, but it's helpful to understand what really happened also.
Okay, Cavalli, I went up to San Francisco, you understand?
Yes.
And I in those days I'd get an order for 10 or 20 cars, and a 20 car order would be like getting a 500 car order today.
Right.
You understand? In fact, when I was, the interesting story that you like, when I was bored, I'd sit in front of Vaughn Singer Motors, and I count in those days how many cars went by on Sunset Boulevard before an imported car went by.
Oh, yeah.
An imported, not a singer, an imported.
Yeah.
And I would get up to 20, 30, 40 cars going, 50 cars going by before I saw an imported car.
So when you went up to San Francisco to see Cavalli, what happened?
I couldn't deliver the cars.
So what did he do then? Did he sell singers too then, or?
Well, yeah, he sold them. He sold them, but Singer, but don't forget, Cavalli had the big automobiles. He had him. It was just filling a line.
Right.
If he got five Singers for me, he got 100 MGs, you know.
Right.
Okay.
So he bought Singers.
Did he go directly to Singer to pick up the cars?
No, I had them drop shipped up there.
Okay, so he still went through you to buy cars.
Yeah, he had to buy go through me.
Did you see the other question I had? So did he buy chassis from you for his race car?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. That'll be worth another talk with him. I think when I first talked to you today, you said you remembered or you watched the fiberglass BMC body being built. Did I misunderstand that, or did you?
Yeah, well, that was a guy for the Kaiser.
Okay, that was the glass bar then.
Glass bar, yeah. Well, see, his place for building them was right down the street from where I live.
Did you remember the BMC Cashel Cavalli fiberglass car that was on a Singer chassis?
No.
Okay, that's all right. I didn't know.
Well, he put a car on Singer chassis, didn't he?
Yeah, fiberglass body.
Yeah. I was getting. But in other words, I had started all these things that could have become very big.
Yeah.
And I had the imagination, as you can see, talking to me at 80. Well, I don't know, I'm just 87. I was born in 7/11/25. That's a long time ago.
So really, the Vaughn Singer glass bar and the Shell Cavalli BMC were contemporary, Peter. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And they were competitors. So Vaughn Singer was trying to do the fiberglass car that
I didn't sell any fiberglass cars.
No, but you helped Bill Vaughn with the glass bar body be shipped up to he wouldn't have known about glass bar if not for you, right?
That's right, because I was making the fiberglass tops for the Singers with the tops down.
Gotcha. So,
have you seen a Singer?
Well, Peter owns one, or two, or three. I don't know how many Peter owns.
Well, you know what a disgusting top it has.
Yeah.
It looks like a Conestoga wagon.
Yeah. My idea was to make the. I was making the fiberglass car. Then I came out with the Vaughn wing. You know,
I've seen those.
You have the fiberglass.
I've seen the ads for them. I haven't seen the.
Wing. You know, I knew the MG had those little things. So all I had to do was unscrew that bolt and put them on, and I was selling those things. Let's put it this way. I had good training from my father for business-wise.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, Monroe, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to call Peter here in a few minutes. Peter, do you have a time frame when you'd want to call him back in the next few days?
Now, make sure he does what I told you. You can call me practically any. I don't go around that much. Oh, by the way, see, I ended up as a Life Master bridge player. I'm a top tournament bridge player.
Wow.
Yeah.
And but my mind is not, I mean, it's good at my mind. I mean, you can see my mind ain't that bad for an old fart.
You're doing fine. You're doing great. I'm glad you're still around. But, Peter, when do you, since we're going to be stopping today for right now, when do you want to call him next about? I mean, just to give him a sense of idea.
Today's Monday, right?
Yeah.
I think maybe later this week I'll have a time slot that I can sit down and chat for a while.
Now, if you call me, you understand, you get my same machine.
Yeah.
Identify who you are right away.
Okay.
And hold on. Don't hang up.
Okay.
You follow me? And if I'm home, I'll pick up. Give me a couple of minutes to get to the phone.
Okay. Sounds good.
And say the word Singer, and then say the word Singer several times, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Perfect.
Let me explain you something. My father left the country, as you know, and only two people think that I had I was left with $1 million. My father and me. I mean, and I didn't. In fact, my father opened his suitcase to give me cash when he was going to Europe.
Yeah.
And see, I finally told him. I said, you know, see, I was brought up by my father. I never really knew my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew my father was in the rackets. I knew what he did, and I was very proud of him. But here I am, I find out that my father is signing draft evasions in his distillery. for friends and people. And he doesn't take money. It was ego situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You follow me? And
yeah.
Here I am flying in combat, and here I am as a nice Jew getting very happy bombing Germany. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And I get the Air Medal, and I've been decorated. And, you know, you don't find too many people who flew on B-17s.
Not at all.
Because they were all shot down.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I got out of the service, my father was indicted for conspiracy to invade the draft. I mean, my father paid off senators and congressmen and my, you know, like these wealthy guys you're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
My father was one of those.
Oh, yeah.
And my home was 62 miles. My home was 62 miles from Washington, D.C. Have you ever been down in Virginia that way?
Yeah.
Well, you know the Skyline Drive, the Shenandoah National Park?
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Front Royal, Virginia. Well, I live 9 miles. We own a town called Belmead, Virginia, the whole town. And that's where our distillery was and everything. And then I raised dogs. Are you dog fanciers?
I've got one.
What do you got?
A Cocker Spaniel.
Got, well, I raised Kerry Blues.
Oh, yeah.
And I gave two of them to the service when they first organized the Canine Corps, because they organized it in Front Row and Remount Station. Do you know what a Army Remount Station was?
No.
So you know, it's funny, people don't know. A remount station was where they bred the horses when they had a cavalry.
Oh, yeah.
And Front Royal had an Army remount station, and that's where they started training dogs. They started the Canine Corps there. In fact, before World War II, when the military guys from the remount station came into Front Royal, they had the spur, the buttons, or the leather leggings on and everything, because they were in the cavalry.
Hmm.
So have you been on the Skyline Drive, Shenandoah National Park?
I've been past, but I don't know them well, certainly.
Well, Monroe, I actually have to, it's 4:15 now, I actually have 4:30, I've got something to do, a conference call with my students.
Okay,
so,
listen, when are you going to call? You know where I'm at, you've got
okay.
My address.
Yeah, I have, and I'm going to give that to Peter. Peter, I'm going to call you in a few minutes with it.
Okay, that's
You're
great.
On Sunrise Lakes Drive in Fort Lauderdale.
Apartment 109.
Okay, let me write that down. Apartment 109. But we'll get that, too, because we may want to put together some stuff for you.
I don't even know your names, but that's all right.
Well, I'm Jeff Hacker, and this is Peter McCurcher.
Peter McCurcher.
Well, see, one of the things was when I had problems with losing so many people that I knew in the service and everything, I was recommended not to render people's names.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, you can start remembering ours if you.
well, you write me, you know. And the guy that you should get hold of, mm-hmm. who knows me, knew me, and flew with me, was Eli Burke, and he flew Doolittle's plane. He was Doolittle's radio operator after he was.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to call Dick Van Lannen and give him your number also.
Because
I'll talk to
him. The same thing I told you. That when he calls me, and if he leaves anything, to hold on when he leaves his name.
Okay. No
yeah.
problem. And then Peter will probably call you back in just a few days.
And I'll even tell you what his initials are. R.J.
What's
R.J.
that?
Van Lannen.
What?
R.J.
Van Lannen.
Yeah, I see, one thing reminds me of another. Now, I haven't mentioned his name in many, many years, R.J. Van Lannen. He drove in my place for service.
Well, that's a cool story.
And he knew so much about singers, I said, shit, he ought to sell them. And
well,
he was selling insurance, and he came to work for me.
Well, is it okay? Now, Peter's going to call you, but is it okay for me to call you back, too? I'd enjoy talking to you a little bit.
You can call me anytime you want.
Okay, great.
Wonderful.
Well,
but just do it, and we'll get together one of these days, and I'll get together the stuff that I have. You know what I mean? I don't have too much. I threw most of my stuff away. What I did was this. I see, auto liquidator. You know what's in the big automobile that owns all the automobile dealerships?
Yep.
See that sounds like a great good deal. You know what I mean? But if you have 40 agencies and each one of them is making a profit, you're showing profit. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I mean, that to me is not a good investment.
Understood. Okay. Well, I've got a split, but Peter, I'm going to call you in just a couple of minutes. And Monroe, okay. It's a pleasure finding you. So we're going to be talking here very soon.
R.J. Van Lannen, isn't that funny how the initials came back?
Well, he may give you a call too. It's and that's why we want to get you copies of things so you can look at them and maybe tell
I'll
us some more stories.
I'll go through my stuff and I'll find you the stuff that I
okay.
have.
Then we'll either both of us or one of us will call you back just in a few days. Okay.
Yeah, and send me those. I was wrong. Send me a folder of the pictures that you have.
I thought you'd like them. I think you'd enjoy too. So we'll try to get some, and I can help there too, Peter, because he's close by here in Florida. So, yeah. Peter, I'll call you in just a couple minutes, okay?
There isn't nobody who knows Vaughn Singer Motors but me.
Well, and now you're going to get lots of phone calls from us, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to write to that, if you're going to do a press, there's nobody, because everybody related to, in fact, I went to busting to Kelly, you know, Kelly Car Company. Has a Kelly Blue Book.
Right.
Yeah. And I told him he has to put imported cars in the Blue Book. He says, what do you want to do that for? They're not going to be around long. I said, they are. And he said, if you want them in the Blue Book, he said, put them in yourself. You know, make it up. So in a 19, and I just gave that away. I had the first Blue Book that listed imported cars.
Wow.
1952.
Wow.
I gave it away to somebody.
Cool. Well, start going through your memories. We will call back here shortly, and you're going to hear from both of us, but probably Peter first. Okay.
Okay. As long as you do what I said.
Okay.
Okay. We'll do that.
Great. Perfect. Great talking to you, Moreau, and Peter. I'll call you in just a couple of minutes.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, guys.
Cheerio.
Okay.
Cheerio.
Bye bye. Jeff Hacker. Hello. Monday, February 14, 2011, with Monroe Gretzky of Vaughn Singer Motors.